If we know our biblical and human history well, which I suspect a lot of us here do, we know that a long time ago, in the pages of Genesis, we hear narrated the fall out of Eden, the tragedy of Adam and Eve, and we know that the disastrous consequences of that disobedience once upon a time were the fragmenting of the harmony between men and women, between us and creation, and between us and God. There the world began to fragment in very serious and challenging ways. Then some further pages forward in Genesis, we get to Genesis chapter 11, which is what the end of what's called the prehistory period of our biblical story. We hear the story of the Tower of Babel, famous story, and it was read last night at our vigil for Pentecost. It's one of the readings for the propers of that celebration. We don't hear it this morning, but it's part of the story. At Babel, if you don't know, they tried to build a tower. They built it out of bricks they hardened with fire, and they said, let's build a tower that's going to reach to the highest heavens, up into the sky. God comes down, looks at this tower, as the story tells anyway, and says, wow, if they can do something like this, while they're all speaking the same language, just think what else they can do that will be destructive for them and for their covenant with me. So God decides to confuse their speech, hence the word Babel today comes from that story. They babbled because their languages now became divided and he scattered them, so they couldn't do something like that anymore. And then Genesis picks up from there. So in that moment, the human family became divided even further, even more fragmenting into different races and tongues and nations. And unfortunately, oftentimes in history, those nations and races and tongues have been at division with each other. They have fought, and things have not worked out so well. What was the problem with Babel anyway? I mean, it's a subtle point. I mean, they built a tower. What's the big deal, right? But if you look at it carefully, you've got to kind of look behind the text, but I mean, the problem is that they were going to try and fix their problem of the divided world on their own. They thought on their own human achievement, with their ingenuity and all their mental know-how and all their might, they could just sort of climb to God up to heaven all on their own power, all by themselves. They weren't going to depend on somebody else to help them. They were going to do what might have been a decent enough thing, making a tower, but their hearts were in the wrong spot about it because they wanted to do it without God's assistance. We'll do it on our own. Let's see what we can do to fix it. Heartfelt desire, fixing things, wrong way to go about it, hence the problem. Here's a subtle, maybe benign, modern example to illustrate this. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, but I mean, in my life, when I was like four, I think it was, age four, and I think you all can relate to this as parents and kids, I decided to do what probably wasn't a bad thing all on its own. I decided to cut my own hair. You all know these things go, right? And of course, I remember coming upstairs after doing it and walking past my parents so they would not see the side of my head that I had cut because I knew they would not want me to do that. Okay? Is cutting my hair a bad thing per se, like building a tower? Not necessarily. But I did it without their knowledge because in my little mind I thought, I can do this all by myself. I don't need them to help me. I'm going to try and get to the good by going around what I know must be my providers and caretakers because I think I'm so smart. You can imagine how it ended up. And my hairs look bad even to today, as some of you have reminded me on several occasions. So you're just proving my point. That's the idea behind Babel, right? Fast forward a long, 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 long time past the Babel story into recent history. Let's say the past couple of centuries in Western thought. The human family is still divided, isn't it? And we are still at war in different respects with each other, with nations and cultures, and we have tried over the years to build our own kind of towers of Babel, if you think about it. And again, don't think that it's all bad, like cutting hair is not so bad, but it's the ideas behind it that can be the problem, no? So things like Enlightenment thinking about Western democracies, even our own Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, there's a bit of an idea behind that to get us together and make this new nation. We're going to build this great new land, kind of like the Tower of Babel, a little bit. Ideas behind communism as its foundations, or capitalism, also Babel kinds of exercises. Things like the United Nations, League of Nations, European Union, treaties, Political parties, those are all also a kind of babble if you think about it. We're trying to bring ourselves together as a human family with all these mechanisms and rules and treaties and customs and laws and bureaucracies. And when these things are proposed, at the time you look back at the speeches that were made and everything else, there's lots of language of, this is going to fix all of our problems. We're not going to fight anymore. We're going to bring heaven on earth through our new structures. Science does something of the same. The scientific revolution, the Enlightenment thinking on that, medicine, technology, all today's gadgets and devices, engineering. So much of our modern things that we swim around in are all on one level like little towers of Babel. Again, not bad in themselves per se. However, when they do these things without God at their foundation, then the problems really do come in, don't they? When the European Union was getting off the ground a little while ago, St. John Paul II at the time, and then Benedict after him, and even now Francis, all told them, you have not written Christianity in your constitution at all. You left it out completely. It's going to fail. You can't deny your roots or your past. You're building a structure without God that's doomed to fail on the promise you can unify the human family. That's what happens in the modern world. Now again, good intentions. Ever since the beginning of time, we've wanted to fix our problems. Like me want to cut my own hair, it's a nice thing to try and do. But if we're honest with ourselves, I think the time is coming upon us pretty soon when I think we're going to recognize the limitations of all those projects. All the promises made about Western ideas and science and medicine, technology, they brought helpful things, but they've not fixed everything. Indeed, some have brought real disasters too. We cannot fix all of this all on our own. All our own devices, like me cut my own hair when I'm four, we can't unify the human family and fix all of it with all of our structures and parties and ideas. It's not going to work. They are limited in their very nature because we are the ones building them. That they're nice, but they have limitations, no? Enter Pentecost into this whole dialogue, right? Because what is Pentecost? It's the undoing of Babel. That's really what it is. You notice in Acts the Apostles, they're gathered from all these different parts of the Mediterranean territories for the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, to get in Jerusalem, and yet they all hear the Apostles speaking in their own tongue, which is God's way of overcoming all the divisions in the human family. Which means, if you get right down to it, that the remedy for human unity isn't in our structures, it's found in the church. The church, the Catholic Church in particular, enjoys a kind of unity and diversity that is unparalleled among any other human structure. Yes, we've done lots of dumb things, it's true, even ridiculous things, and for all of the frustrations that creep into us as a church family over time, it's true. Nonetheless, we are, at the core, unified in our baptism, as the second reading makes clear today, under the Holy Father, Pope Francis, as our doctrines all teach, with one creed that we profess at the Mass, with our liturgies, in the saints, in the sacraments, in our doctrines, all around the world, every language, every nation, every tongue, we have a beautiful, beautiful unity. So the church is God's answer to Babel. It's his way of saying, you want a unified family? I want that too. Here's how it's going to happen. And what makes it possible is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the agent, the engine behind all of the binding, the bonds, the communion, the friendship in the Lord. All that is made possible by what Pentecost showered down from heaven, and it's been with us ever since in abundance. In fact, as Father Justin rightly pointed out last night in his vigil homily, historians and theologians say it, the fact that the Catholic Church is still here today all these years later is proof that there is a Holy Spirit. Because on our own, we definitely would have messed it up a long, long time ago. It's a fact. We're just frail human beings, no? So that tells us that the church isn't just one institution among all these other ones in our modern world. We often think of it that way. That's a mistake. You know, like the United Nations, or like the U.S. government, or Apple Computer, whatever. No, we are not one of those. Those are all man-made things. They're little Babel towers on their own. They're limited. The church exists today because it's from God. He is the one powering it. He's the one running it. He's the one breathing through it in his life and through all of us. That's why it's still here. It's from him. So as usual, on our great solemn feast days, like today really is one of our most solemn ones, what does the church do? We take all this in and we realize what God has done. He's taken the deepest longings of community we've had since Genesis. We all want to get together. We want to fix the human family that's broken. We all want that. That's why we make these structures. And God says, you know what? I'll do it for you. I know you can't do it on your own. You just can't. Like a four-year-old can't cut his own hair. You can't do this. So, I will do it for you. I will give you the church. And in the church, you will find what your hearts long for, the fellowship of the human family in unity and diversity that I intended from the beginning of time. He's done that because he loves us so, so much. So we have to elevate our thinking, you know. If we think the church is just one thing among many, we're going to misunderstand her. Those are the things that exist on one level. The church exists on the next plane up. She comes from God. And history is indeed the proof. There's one last piece just to touch on briefly, and I'll end. And it comes from today's sequence. That's the hymn that we sung after the second reading and before the gospel. These are ancient prayers, these sequences. There's four of them in modern Roman liturgy. Ours goes back about maybe 800 years, this one, to the 1200s. There's a great line in here. Well, it's all beautiful, but this one right here. It says of the Holy Spirit, bend the stubborn heart and will, melt the frozen, warm the chill. Bend the stubborn heart and will, melt the frozen, warm the chill. We're not different, I suppose, today from other eras in our polarization right now. There's lots of fighting going on, a lot of political polarization, difficulties in the culture, more terrorist attacks, even last night and this morning. It seems as though we are living through a lot of shrill language, hardened hearts, stubborn wills, a great deal of chill in our world. Intransigence, hardened positions, difficulties, polarization, we're around it more and more these days. Not new, that's happened before, but we're past another era of it, right? What this sequence is trying to say is that if we find ourselves as persons or as a country getting all mad at the TV or angry about this or about that or having the anger rise in our hearts over what's being said on CNN or Fox News or the New York Times or wherever we're getting our news from these days that frustrates us, if that is happening, then we are not paying attention to what the Holy Spirit is trying to do, which is to soften our hearts and bend our stubborn wills and thaw our frozen spirits to help us get along as a human family, A. And B, we are misunderstanding the limitations of our human institutions. If I'm that mad about all this stuff, then I'm placing too much faith in my Tower of Babel, which is on one level destined to fall. Anything that we build on this planet, any institution, agreement, treaty, understanding, technology, it has limitations. And God says to us, in all humility, recognize the limits of your power. You can't save yourselves, only I can. Hence Pentecost. Whoosh, down he comes to accomplish what on our own we cannot do. And praise God for it. So that's today's beauty. And there's a lot more, right? But that's enough for one morning, you know? We bring all that to the altar. We ask him to guide us. And if we find ourselves all not at peace in our hearts in this day and age, then we ask the Spirit to fill our hearts, our homes, our communities, our nation, so we'll understand that the answer to our deepest longings isn't in what I make with my hands, but in what God gives me from above, in his free, divine, beautiful, and loving gift of the promised Holy Spirit.